You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche. And as Jay just said, we are splitting this show between two different groups. So it's the Kodiak Hockey League, and then it's the Bayside Volunteer Department, the fire department, that is. And with us right now, we have Ryland Long and Hal Long, and then we have three relatives, John Glover, yes, Carly, and Hannah, which are his children, his daughters. So, why don't we start with the kids? Could you kind of give your background and how you guys got involved in hockey?
I got involved in hockey because of my poppy.
Okay, is that your dad or your grandpa?
My grandpa.
Who is sitting right next to you. Who is how long? Yeah.
Yes.
All right, and so how many years have you been? You're 10, right?
Yes.
How many years have you been playing hockey?
Been playing for 6 years.
6 years? Okay, so you started when you were 4. Yeah? So, do you feel like you've grown an affection for the sport?
Yes.
Yeah? Do you want to talk a little bit about your experiences?
No.
No? He's like shaking his head, nah. Well, Hal, why don't you talk a little bit about your involvement in hockey since you're a coach? Yep.
I've been with the Kodiak Hockey League for 3 years. I got set in on a meeting. Next thing you know, people are pointing at me to become vice president, so that's what I'm doing. I also coach the 6 and under and help with the 8 and under and the 10 and under if coaches need help. So it's been really, really a good experience to watch these kids skate and grow, and their finesse on the ice and their skills are just unbelievable.
How many kids who are related to you are doing hockey?
My grandson here, Rylan, and Savannah up in she's up in Wasilla, and she's on the Palmer Pioneer team and captain of her team. And she played here, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years here, probably 6 years, I'm going to say. And she's quite good. And actually, she picked up quite a bit of her skills chasing after Carly a few years ago.
Oh, yeah? How old is she?
Savannah is 14.
So around your age then, Carly. Yeah. Yeah. So how? What? Yeah. She agrees. So you've gotten to see a whole range of ages kind of develop in their hockey skills. As a coach, is there something that you teach the younger kids? Like, what are the steps of learning hockey, and how do they advance as they get older?
Well, with my group, the 6 and under, it's to we start off with what's kind of called the bucket brigade. There's kids that can barely stand up on skates, and so we have them hold these 7-gallon buckets down on the ice, and they use those to support themselves. In 2 weeks, we take the buckets away, and then they have to skate by themselves and also get into what's called a hockey stance and how to balance on the skates and push off. So it's a development, slow development of motor skills, and then they pick up speed. And once they realize they have this particular speed, they can stop, turn around real quick, and then get into the hockey games. That's the fun part of it. It's really fascinating to watch these kids.
And so, do adult learners get buckets, or is that just for the children? Because I could use a bucket.
We'll get you out there.
Only if I have something to support me on the ice, because last time I used a child, and he didn't agree with that.
Yeah, a hockey stick's good to have. I keep that with me because I have occasion to fall down, so that's my third wheel, if you will.
Okay. Ryland, do you remember graduating from the bucket?
No, because we didn't use buckets when I was little.
No, we didn't have the buckets there.
In your generation, they didn't use the buckets?
No.
Okay. Are you a good hockey player?
Yes.
Yeah? What makes you a great hockey player?
I have good stick handling, and I'm really fast.
Oh, yeah? What does stick handling involve? How do you stick handle?
I dribble the puck.
Oh, wow. These are fancy terms. I'm not a hockey player like you, so I don't really get those terms. What is a dribble? What's that?
I know. You move the stick back and forth with the puck on your blade of your stick.
All right. And how much of hockey involves slamming into people? Because based on what I've seen in hockey, there's a lot of body-to-body contact.
There's a lot of that. We keep it. There's no checking like you see on hockey on TV, but there is a certain type of checking you can do, is like holding somebody up against the side or kind of slowly cutting into them. But we do have kids that get excited, lose control of their speed, and slam into each other. You just stand there as a coach going, oh, I hope it's okay.
Like, hope no one sees this happening.
They have all this gear on, and rarely does anybody get hurt.
Right. Is there, like, a size requirement? So if you have, if all the kids are, like, the same size, you prefer that? Or can the kids be various?
They're all different sizes, and they're various ages.
Mm-hmm. But they're grouped together in age groups.
Yeah.
Two-year age groups, basically. Right. 5-6-year-olds, and then 7-8-year-olds, and 9-10-year-olds.
Yeah. Okay, and you kind of just hope that the growth spurts will all remain in even lining?
Well, as John said, we keep them in a two-year age group, 8 and under, 10 under, 12 under, and so on. But you do have some kids that are large.
Do they have an advantage?
The only thing I could say is probably the taller kids glide a little bit better and are probably quicker. But then again, I've seen small kids skate right under you and steal your puck.
Mm-hmm. Rylan, have you done that?
A lot.
A lot? Ooh, I want you on my team. Once I learn hockey, we can be on a team together.
We can get you in there.
Okay, so you ladies, are you on a girls' team? Like, how does that work?
So we actually play for the Alaska All-Stars 16U team in Anchorage.
Oh, okay.
And that team is an all-girls team.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. So you play for the team in Anchorage, but you live in Kodiak, right?
Yeah, we also play for Kodiak Hockey League.
Oh, wow. So you're all over the state, essentially. How does that relationship work? Do you split your time between Anchorage and Kodiak, or what happens there?
So we practice here during the week with Kodiak. We play games with them when we're not in Anchorage. So when we can, we travel up to Anchorage, have practices, go to tournaments with them. We traveled to Detroit a couple weeks ago.
Wow, Detroit? That's really cool.
Yeah. So this weekend we're traveling with Kodiak Hockey League to Eagle River for the state tournament, Tier 4.
All right. What is a Tier 4? What does that mean?
There's different levels from Tier 1 to Tier 4. Tier 4 is not the highest level, but it's still pretty competitive.
Mm-hmm. And where else have you guys gotten to travel because of your involvement with hockey?
I've traveled to Canada and Detroit twice this season.
Whoa.
With the All-Stars 19 team, 19U.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of Detroit?
You
can be honest, there's no one from Detroit listening, so.
It's kind of sketchy. It's
a little bit sketch. Yeah. I've heard. But how is the rink? Did they have good? Was it well-shaved? Is that what's desirable in a rink? Got to be well-shaved.
It was pretty nice. Yeah, it's better than Kodiak, but it's pretty good.
Was there like a fancy rink, or did they give you cool tools?
No, it's all the same.
Mm-hmm. They had really nice locker rooms there. That was nice to have.
Nice and shiny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, how about your competition? Were they tough?
They're pretty tough. Yeah, we lost our games, but they're pretty close games, so.
Yeah, we're right. We fit right in with them. We're about the same level.
Oh, do you remember your scores?
I know our last game was 3-2. We came back from a 3-1 in the third period.
Mm-hmm. So how long does it take you to complete the whole round of scores? Does it take like 2 hours or an hour, or how long does it take?
Well, it's periods, so we just get like 12 to 15 minute stop clock time, and we just play.
Mm-hmm. So you two are sisters.
Mm-hmm.
How did you both get involved in hockey?
My dad started us, we just started skating around like 2, and
Round two. And John, is that true?
I was definitely young, for, especially for Carly. Probably 3-4 when she first put on some skates. But
Well, I started playing
Hannah
hockey
probably
at
5-6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so did you get better at hockey because you managed to practice together? Is that something you did?
Not necessarily together, but as our teams. With our teams, we, yeah.
What do you guys love about hockey? What keeps you coming back?
It's so fun and fast, and you can be as competitive as you want. Especially here in Kodiak, you can just hit all the boys that you want when they make you mad.
Uh-huh. So you can go fast. Are you, you're playing against guys as well?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Kodiak, yeah.
Yeah.
And when we travel with our girls' teams, we verse, like, teams with boys on them.
Well, this is in Anchorage. We just got back from a tournament this past weekend with them. Mm-hmm. It was all boys' teams, but there's some girls on those teams.
Was that the Detroit one?
No, this was one in Anchorage.
It was a Presidents' Day tournament.
Oh. You did
it
that?
Was just teams around Alaska.
Oh, wow. And how did that go?
We took third out of, I think, like, 8 teams or something like that.
All right. And was there one team in particular that was, like, very competitive, very, very skilled at what they're doing?
No, probably the top 3 or 4 teams were all pretty close.
Uh-huh. It ultimately just came down to
who
luck.
Just who
got...
Who would, like, want it more, like, just push.
Who wanted it the most?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. John, so you're a coach, too?
I'm a coach, yeah. And I'm also a president.
Okay, so could you tell me, how did you get involved in Hockey League?
Well, initially it was because of my kids. Because of the facility they had here, our kids have always been involved with sports of all different sports here in Kodiak, and hockey happened to be the winter sport of choice, and got them involved early with the Parks and Rec. Kodiak Parks and Rec used to run a kind of a youth hockey program, fairly short season, you know, 2 months, but that's how my girls got started, and then henceforth, about that same time, I was like, if they're going to be on the ice, I should be too. And I had a buddy that was leaving, gave me some gear, and next thing you know, I started playing too.
Okay, so your kids started before you did in hockey.
Yeah, they've been playing hockey longer than I have.
Oh, wow. All right, so when you started hockey, what did you find were the challenges that you overcame to actually play?
The challenges. Balancing on 1/8-inch blades of steel.
Yeah, that was my first thought.
But I think that's the lure. It is so much fun. It's so fast. It's so engaging that you just want to be out there and get better.
Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you to overcome the ice skating part in order to be good at the hitting of the puck part?
I don't think there's a defined. You know, you just continuously get better. I'm getting better every day I'm on the ice, so, and I think that applies to all the kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Hal, could you tell me a little bit about how you got involved in hockey?
Almost the same as John. My grandkids were on the hockey program on the ice with Borough or City, whatever that is, and they kind of dropped out of it 3 years ago, and then John and somebody else, host of others, took it over and were knowledgeable enough to take it under USA Hockey. And I always was there with my grandkids to get them on the ice, and then I started skating too. Like John said, skating on knife blade edges, trying to balance and pick up speed and not get hurt was a real thrill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a. I don't play anymore, but when I did play, it's a fast sport, and you pick up so much as you go, turning, how to pass off the puck to your somebody that's open or a partner, and so forth like that. It's a lot of fun.
So you guys have a tournament coming up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have our age group that these girls are in, which is 18U, so we got our 15, 16, 17-year-olds all traveling to the Alaska State Tournament this weekend.
How old are you guys again?
I'm 14.
I'm 16.
Okay, all right. And so if anyone's interested in learning hockey, how do they reach out to you guys?
The easiest thing is to email the league at kodiakhockeyleague@gmail.com, and we'll get them set up. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have 50 sets of starter gear right now for the new kids. that want to come try it. No cost to them. It's late in the season. The season's virtually almost over now, but certainly next year when we start.
All right. So we're going to transition over to the fire station people now. We're going to have some music for you while we do that transition. But thank you guys so much for joining us. We've been speaking with the Kodiak Hockey League and some of the kids involved. So thank you guys.
Well, we appreciate you calling us in. Get the word out.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Talk of the Rock. We're back, and we have a couple of different people here with us today. They will introduce themselves. Why don't you start, young man?
I'm firefighter Jordan Kirby. I'm a firefighter and eventually inspector and administration officer at Bayside Fire Department.
All right. And I'm Paul Van Dyke. I am the chairman of Fire Protection Area Number 1 Board.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago you reached out to the station and you said that you were interested in getting some more volunteers and possibly staff members. Is that correct?
That's correct. So right now as a volunteer department, we're pretty low on the amount of people that we would ideally like to have. And as the chief put it, we would need an additional 40 people, volunteers, to come to the station, get trained up, to be able to accurately and responsibly respond to fires and EMS calls in our area.
Okay, so why don't you explain a little bit about the history of this fire station and how it differs from some of the other groups in Kodiak?
So our station is completely volunteer with the exception of our chief. He's a paid chief. So we respond to the area outside the city. City Fire Department and City EMS is paid. They're on call at all times, and for us, it's completely different because it's just neighbors helping neighbors. It's people that are volunteering to come into the station on their own time, whether it's at lunch break or off work, and actually respond to these calls, get trained up properly, and to help whoever's in need, fight fires, you can name it.
And you're currently looking for staff.
We are. So we're looking for specifically homeowners, people that would live here long term that would like to come in and help establish more of a leadership role in the department and to help train up a lot of the people that are coming in. And I wouldn't say that we don't like Coast Guard. We absolutely love the Coast Guard. It's just unfortunate that we only have Coast Guard volunteers for 2-3 years at a time and then we have to get somebody else. I would say everyone's welcome and no experience is required, but you know, we'd like to get people with experience. We'd like to get people that would like to be at the fire department for long term.
As firemen?
Yes, firemen. We have an EMT course coming up pretty soon. So there's a lot of opportunities to volunteer at the fire department. And it doesn't always have to be fire or EMS. We have radio technicians that work there. We have people that are just part of the association, so the nonprofit sort of people. We also have public educators that do fire prevention and community outreach, and they'll go out to local schools and teach all these programs for fire safety overall. So there's a little bit of everything for everyone.
Could you elaborate on some of the positions that you just mentioned, like EMS, was it?
Yeah, so emergency medical services. So we have first responders that are treated as the initial response. So they're trained in first aid, CPR, AED, and it's just the basic. We get there, we secure the scene, we start helping the people. While we're waiting for city ambulance to come, city will come in, they'll take over the scene, they'll transport the people to the hospital if needed, and it's mostly for us supporting each other. City will come out and help us. We'll come out and help city. So it's a continual joint effort to support the community as far as medical services go. And we can say the same thing for fire. Like, we'll both respond to each other's fire if needed. We'll respond to Woman Bay. Coast Guard fire sometimes come out and help us. So it's a big, tight-knit community.
And what other positions are available?
So we have training positions that are there specifically to train our employees, so firefighters and EMS. We have the, like I said, the public educators. Those are just people that are good at speaking to children, speaking to people out in the community, good at going and getting our name out there, getting fire prevention materials out there. We always need instructors, so people that know CPR and first aid, people that know how to run an organization, so like people with admin skills, people skills, know how to read through manuals, people that are good with money, a little bit of everything. All these positions are either broken down into administrative, training, safety, or community outreach. And so within all of those departments, you can find a niche.
All right, and these are paid positions?
No, all of these are volunteer. So with the exception of the fire chief, the people that come out and the people that do all these positions are not being paid, and they're doing it just because they want to help people. And they want to help the fire department.
So rather than staff, these are volunteer staff positions.
They are.
Okay. All right, cool. And so how did you guys get involved in the station? Can you kind of tell me your stories?
Okay, I'll go first. So I got involved because I'm an AET over at the 60 side, the hangar. So I'm an electrician. I wanted to learn more about radios. So I took my radio license test at the Bayside Fire Department. I kind of saw what they did and how they responded, and there's neighbors helping neighbors, and that really interested me. That was the reason I joined the Coast Guard to begin with. So I started volunteering. I absolutely loved it. I just kept putting my time in, and I eventually got kind of moved up a little bit and started helping more. And I'm honestly, I don't regret a single moment that I volunteered at the fire department, because it's all worth it, in my opinion.
All right. What about your story?
Yeah, I've been a homeowner in the Bayside Fire Service District for a while, and I've just kind of driven by the station for a number of years. And with the last chief retiring, I decided to get involved and applied for a vacant position on the board, and was picked up for that. And just really have enjoyed working with our new chief and with the other board members, kind of from the organizational side. I consider myself a volunteer as well on the board, but not as involved in the day-to-day operations or responding to fires. It's interesting when I wake up in the morning, I look at my phone, and there may have been a dispatch in the middle of the night. Board members do not respond to fires. It's the volunteers who respond to fires in the middle of the night or calls.
It seems like one of the reasons a person might join as a volunteer is they're looking for a sense of community when they first move here. So how would you say that being a volunteer has contributed to your daily life and your sense of community?
I think you're right. There's a strong sense of community. There's a very strong sense of community inside the station. The chief has done really good done a great job to include people from different areas, different aspects. As Jordan mentioned, there's lots of roles in the station. Again, you can be a volunteer kind of in the operational side, or you can even be a volunteer on the board. Kodiak is a tight-knit community just because of our geographic separation from the mainland. And again, as Jordan mentioned, you know, these are neighbors helping neighbors.
Yeah, I would kind of go off the same thing. Before I started volunteering at the fire department, I was kind of off in my own world over in the military base. And since doing that, I've interacted with so many people that were either looking for help doing something, where I may have not have had the answer, but I helped them figure out, like, how to install a car seat properly, who to talk to about that, who to talk to about what kind of smoke detectors to have, and just the general safety things like that. And I felt, after meeting all these people and actually talking to them, just how big of an impact a volunteer fire department actually has. And that's one of the reasons why I'm always going to do this. Even after I leave Kodiak, I am going to continue to be a volunteer. And that sense of community to me is incredible, just the fire community and the public community.
It looks like we only have a couple of more minutes left, but if there was something that you would tell people who might be interested, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, if you've ever thought about it, just come into the station, come talk to whoever's there. There's almost always somebody there. Call us on the phone, come get a tour of the station, and kind of tell us what you want to do, and we'll help you get to that point. You want to fight fires, you want to be EMS, you want to just help in some other way. If you're interested in it, just jump for it, just do it, and it'll all work out.
I would say, yes, come by the station, meet our chief. We say he's a new chief, but he's been there for a little over a year. He's a very passionate person. He really cares about what he does, and really cares about his volunteers. And I think it's I'm somewhat jealous. I sit on the board, and I'm not involved in the operational aspect, but the guys that I see involved in the operational aspects of the station seem to have smiles on their faces.
All right. Is there a good contact number for you guys to learn more?
Yes, so the Bayside Fire Department number is 907-486-4536. That goes directly to the chief's voicemail, but it's also tied to all the phones in the department, so any one of the firefighters can pick up and lead somebody in the right direction.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We've been speaking with a couple of volunteers with the Bayside Fire Station, so thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.